Good morning. We're going to be reading two passages from Ephesians this morning. First of all, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And then secondly, Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. And you can find the first passage on page 825 of the Red Pew Bibles. Page 825. And it's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
This is Ephesians 4, verse 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Somebody told me to relax. Said you were a friendly lot. We'll have to wait and see. Well, thank you for inviting me today. I do bring the greetings of Lincoln Evangelical Church, a part of this same body, shall we call it a plant, 20 years ago. And we praise God for what he's continued to do here. And we praise God for what he's doing over on the Heart's Home Estate. Kind of introduce myself. My name's Jonathan. Come with my wife Elizabeth there. We were called here to Lincoln about 2 years ago now. It only seems like yesterday. I think just after Morris had started here. And it's been great to get to know Morris, and we meet for coffee and we have a pray and chat. And so we decided to have a pulpit swap. So I don't know if I should say thank you for inviting me here. We kind of invite ourselves, don't we, when we do a pulpit swap. But yeah, we pray for you, and I know a lot of our young people work with you, and that's really encouraging, and we thank you for all your prayers and your support of us, and the Lord's blessing us. We're seeing new faces coming, we're seeing people saved. We've got about 4 Christianity Explored courses going on at the moment, so that's encouraging. We really want those people to come to faith and make that commitment, and make it publicly, and just not be secret Christians. So do pray for those who we're ministering to at the moment. But let's turn to God's word this morning. Let me ask you, I've seen quite a lot of stuff you do in the week, and I've read your notices. But do you have a walking group here? Do you have any church walking groups? Yeah? No, maybe you should, yeah. But maybe you like walking Maybe some are climbers or mountaineers, I don't know. But this morning, I want us to think about our Christian walk. Now, the word walk is often used as a metaphor to describe human behaviour in general. But in the Bible, it's used to describe the Christian's journey, or his walk with the Lord. The phrase to walk with the Lord is used as a figure of speech or as a metaphor from Genesis right through to Revelation. And it describes our relationship, our walk with the Lord, our conduct in life. You know, when God made man in Genesis, what do we find them both doing there in the garden? But walking together. Man was made to walk with God. And to walk with somebody suggests there's harmony, there's friendship between them, which was certainly true of God and Adam. But that walk tragically was spoilt. It ended when Adam sinned. And that meant that God could no longer walk with Adam because of his sin. And it meant Adam no longer wanted to walk with God because he hid himself from him. The walk was over. The journey had ended and man was cast out of the garden to walk alone. Don't the Liverpool supporters sing "You'll Never Walk Alone"? I don't know if they're trying to evangelize the crowd at Liverpool. I don't know. I don't think so. But it's not true. We all walk alone until we are brought back to God and reunited with him, when that walk that ended in Eden can begin again. To walk with God means that we are reunited with him. It means to be back in fellowship with him. And the Bible is full of people's testimonies who've walked with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord. Noah, it says, walked faithfully with God. Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully. The Lord encourages us to walk in obedience. The psalmist encourages us to walk blamelessly. Romans tells us to walk in newness of life, to walk according to the Spirit, to walk properly, and to walk in love. Corinthians tells us to walk by faith, not by sight. And Galatians to walk in peace and in wisdom. And so this metaphor goes right through the Bible from beginning to end, right into Revelation 3:4, where it says, "They will walk with me." What a great hope that is. What a promise. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. And if you're looking for a role model or somebody to walk with along life's road, then John says we are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to copy him and walk as he walked. So this is a well-trodden metaphor, if you'll excuse the pun. So my text for today is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Which says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." And somebody's saying, well, what does it say there about walking? Well, that's where we come into a problem, because back at LEC, we use the New King James Bible, and I kind of was reading that and started to prepare that from the New King James, which says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy. So we've got a different translation here, but I want to stick to the walk worthy translation this morning. That we are called as God's children to live a life, to walk worthy of the calling we have received. That's my challenge. And I want us to consider three things this morning. I want you to consider, first of all, how you used to walk before you were called by God to walk with him. Then as Christians, we can actually walk unworthily. And lastly, what it means to walk worthy of the calling you've received. Firstly, then, let's consider how you used to walk, or how you lived, before you were called by God to himself. If you are a Christian, and I've been told that most of you are, you can't come here long and not get saved. That's the impression I'm getting. But can you remember what your life was like before you were called by God's grace to walk with him, before the Lord either maybe drew you gently over time to himself, or he just grabbed hold of you and he thrust you into his kingdom as he did with Saul on the road to Damascus, or as he did with me, or with Hugh. I've heard Hugh's testimony. How would you describe the way of life, the way you used to live before you were called? Now, would it be right to describe your walk in the world as the Bible describes it, as aimless, pointless, futile, without God and without hope? Would that describe your walk? In Colossians 3, Paul describes how we used to walk. He says, in anger, rage, malice, slander, evil language and from your lips. Does that describe how you used to live? Or does that describe how maybe you're living now? Paul also says their life was one of sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil, desires and greed. And the result of that way of living, he says, is the wrath of God is coming. And Paul says in verse 7, you used to walk in these ways. Is that true of you? I know that was true of me. I mean, you know, I was an art student when I got saved. Aren't art students meant to be the most immoral, you know, the worst kind of students on the planet? I mean, no wonder I needed saving because I was an art student. You know, not like students from Oxford and Cambridge. Oh, don't you believe it? We're all the same. We all have sinned. We've all fallen short. But to those people, to us who once lived like that, God sent his Son to save us. And he has called us to a new life, a better life. And the Bible says this, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. But free to do what? That's the question. Ask a man who's just been released from prison, what's changed? What's different about your life? And he'll say this, I'm now free to walk wherever I want. You know, God has set us free to walk, but not where we want, to walk with him in obedience. Psalm 40 says, he lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. And he put a new song in my mouth and a hymn of praise to our God. Does that describe you this morning? Is that what's changed since God called you to walk with him? So having rescued you, having brought you back to himself, we now have a whole new direction in life. You're on a new path. You've got a new purpose. It goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we are God's handiwork or workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Friends, God has got a plan for your life. And he wants you to walk according to his plan. And if you were to just read on in the next three chapters of Ephesians, it describes the direction and the way of our walk. Ephesians 5 verse 2 says we are to walk in love. Ephesians 5 8 to walk in the light. Once you were in darkness, but now you are the light of the world, of the Lord. Ephesians 5 15 to walk in wisdom. And our passage today, Ephesians 4:1, tells us to walk worthy. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Let's just stop and think what it means to walk for a moment. You know, we take walking for granted, don't we? You walk to church, you walk in here, you'll get up at the end of the service, you'll walk to see your friends, you'll walk over to grab a coffee. You know, talk to somebody who's in a wheelchair, who's paralyzed. Ask them what it's like not to be able to walk, and you'll soon discover just how privileged you are. How much more privileged then to be able to walk as a Christian? To be able to walk means this. Firstly, you are alive. Dead people don't walk. What did we read there? Ephesians 2. As for you, you were dead. God's made you alive. So you can walk. Secondly, it means you're heading in a new direction. Ephesians 2 verse 6 says, God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly and created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Your life now has a new direction and a purpose. Thirdly, it means you are not to stand still. You are to keep on going. Keep on walking and not grow weary. And certainly it means going forward and not backwards. But when Paul says that we are to walk worthy, I think he's also implying there that we can walk unworthily. That's our second point. How can we walk unworthily then as Christians? Well, to walk unworthily is to go back to your old way of life in which you once lived, as if you'd never been touched by God's grace or known his forgiveness. To do those things and think those things and behave and conduct yourself in ways which the Lord has saved you from, as if Jesus' death on the cross had meant nothing. Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Which means, friends, don't go back. Don't go back to your old life. Your life belongs to God now. You are not your own. You are a gift of his grace, and you are destined for glory. That is where you are heading if you are a Christian. And to choose to go back to your old way of life is to walk unworthily. Now, I'm looking around and I'm pleased to see a lot of young people here this morning. I was amazed that the half the congregation left. Wow, I was wondering, am I meant to be through there or in here this morning? Who am I meant to follow? Hey, but most of you young people, most of your life is in front of you, Lord willing. And we've got some older people here, and you may have already lived most of your lives. But whether you have decades left or only days, we are all called, we will all be called one day to give an account of what we have done with our life and how we have lived. Friends, the Lord is very jealous for your life and for what you do with the life he gives you. He doesn't want you to live it for anyone else but him. In Matthew 16, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, which means to walk. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his life? Friends, don't waste the life God has given you on anything less than following Jesus. Give him your time. Give him your money. Give him your very best. Give him everything, because hasn't he given everything for you? And whatever your circumstances, whether it's in sickness, in health, whether you're rich or poor, strive to walk worthily and honor God with your life. So lastly, excuse me, I'm getting dry. Lastly, how can we walk worthy? Well, Paul tells us four ways in verses 1 to 3 of Ephesians 4 in which we can walk worthily. He says, first of all, remember who has called you. Walk humbly and gently. Walk patiently and walk in love. Let's, as they say, walk through these points together. I'm sorry if the metaphors and the cliches keep coming on this one, but as my son's English teacher once told him, avoid cliches like the plague. I'm glad you get that one. They didn't get it back at LEC. That's great. So firstly, to walk worthy is to remember who has called you on this walk. Verse 1 says we are to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. God has called you. You have received a call from the King of Heaven, the Lord of Glory. Now, why I asked you if you've got a walking group in this church is because we've got a walking group back at LEC, and they meet once a month, and they go out. And I just want to use our walking group to illustrate this point. And no personal criticism is intended here. But I have never been invited to go on a walk with the walking group. I know it's the sort of group where you just kind of turn up first Saturday of every month at 10 o'clock and you go along with them. But no one's ever invited me on the church walk. Hey, but God has invited me. God has invited me to walk with him. Isn't that enough? Ephesians 1:4 tells us this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. What more do you want? Is that enough? Are God's riches and blessings, is God company in the walk of life, not enough for you? The great wonder of the gospel is, though, that when he called us, we were far from acceptable. We were filthy in his sight. We were walking in the completely opposite direction. But God has drawn us. He's turned our lives around. He's made us acceptable. He's clothed us in his righteousness. And he's made us alive. To walk worthy, then, is to acknowledge what God has done for you in your life. It's not to be a secret Christian. It's to be out with it. Say, let me tell you what God has done for me. Secondly, we are to walk humbly and gently there in verse 2. Now, sometimes when the Christian thinks about the call of God to him, he might think, and this is no criticism here because I don't know any of you, he might think what a privilege it is to walk with God, which it is. But then he can be tempted to twist those words round from walk worthy to walk. He thinks to himself, well, I must be in pretty good condition, you know, pretty good shape. I've been called, I've been chosen, and he thinks he is spiritually fit. And maybe he thinks he's in better shape than others. Why, I'm a good evangelical. My theology is sound. I'm reformed. And that can get us all puffed up and thinking good of ourselves. But friends, that is not to walk humbly. Paul says, not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul was the greatest Christian who ever lived. And he never said he was worthy to walk. He always said he was an unworthy apostle. He was the worst of sinners. And he had to tell the Corinthians, who thought they were worthy to walk, just what they were like. He said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many were wise, not many influential, not many of noble birth, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And God has chosen the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Doesn't that keep you humble? So we call to walk humbly. We are to look out for the weaker brother and not to say, well, you know, if you can't keep up with us, we'll have to leave you behind. I didn't see Jesus racing ahead on the road to Emmaus when the disciples were so slow and stupid to catch on who Jesus was, I saw him walking humbly with them at their pace. The third way we are to walk is patiently and in love. Verse 2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, when I was a student, I was a climber. And a friend and I planned a winter expedition up to the Isle of Skye to do some snow and ice climbing on the Coolin Ridge. We thought we were both pretty, you know, competent climbers. But we had a friend of ours, and he also climbed, and he invited himself along. And, well, he was a nice kind of guy, so we let him come. And we got there to Skye, and we went up onto the Coolin Ridge in the snow and ice. And the conditions were perfect. It was wonderful. But we soon realized he wasn't up to it. And he got frightened and he got scared, and eventually he begged us to take us down. Boy, how I regretted ever taking him. Why did we bring him? What a wimp, I thought. Well, he couldn't go back on his own, and thankfully we weren't that heartless, as it's a pretty dangerous place. So we packed up and we went down. Did I love him? Not at all. But then I wasn't a Christian then. Friends, on the Christian walk, there will be those in your life who are like him. They're difficult. They're awkward. They're maybe not moving forward. And you will be tempted to lose your patience with them. You've got to say, why haven't they been saved yet? Why haven't they got baptized? Why aren't they at church this morning or this evening again? Why are they giving me so much grief? And we can think to ourselves, if you weren't here, the walk would be so much more enjoyable. Friends, what's going on? That's not bearing with one another in love. Remember, you are only on this walk because God has called you. And if he has called a weaker brother than you to join you on the walk, then that's a privilege. And he's trusting you with that weaker brother. So don't leave him out. Walk at his pace. Show him patience. Show him the love of a true Christian. My friends, you only have one life in which to prove to God that you can walk worthily. Doesn't the Christianity Explored strapline say, only one life? What's it all about? How will you live yours? John Piper said this, few things make me tremble more than the possibility of taking this one-time gift of life and wasting it. He says, every morning when I, as a boy, I used to walk into the kitchen and I saw hanging on the wall a plaque that said, only one life, soon will pass, be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is frighteningly true. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And Piper goes on to say this, I'm almost 58. Well, he's 72 now. And he says, the river of life is spilling over the falls of my days with tremendous speed. More and more I smell eternity. And oh, how I want to use my life well. It is so short and so fragile and so final. You only get one chance to walk worthily. Think, though, what you can do with your life. You can turn the world upside down. Paul did. I want to encourage you to do that, to be bold. To give your all for Christ and dare to do great things for him with your life. But if you're not a Christian and you're not walking with God, well, all that can change. You know, the walk that ended in Eden can be resumed here today in Lincoln. If you would just come and confess your need of Christ and ask him to be your saviour and to put your hand into the hand of the Lord, and he will walk with you, and he has promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We've been given a great privilege to be walking with the Lord. I know of no greater privilege. And oh, when we walk worthily, let's just think and dream and dare to think of the things we can do for our God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. I'll close with this. Paul says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us do that as God's children. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, which is clear and it's challenging, but oh, so encouraging, so hopeful. Lord, we just want to lay our lives before you now and ask, Lord, that, Lord, we'd leave behind those things that are so unworthy of us as Christians. Lord, that we would strive ahead. We would press on towards that goal to which God has called us for. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. I pray you'd help us all to achieve that purpose and to reach that goal in Christ Jesus, for which you have called us heavenward. And so bless this church. Bless all here who are walking with you in faith. And Lord, save those who are not, we pray. Amen.